Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I know that many of you are not able to make it on Sunday morning, but you can always join our live stream. You can go to our live stream at our website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, join in with a chat or a prayer or just worship, fellowship, and let you know that you're not alone. We want you to grow in the knowledge of God, know God's love, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. That's our mission statement. And, you know, we want you to, we've been working through the upper room and the upper room discourse and John chapters 13 through 17. We begin today in John chapter 15, and we're going to break down John 15 for a little bit. Before we come to God, let us come to the throne of the living God in a moment of prayer as we open up his living word. Lord God Almighty, Jesus our Savior, Holy Spirit, our guide and teacher, come in your power, presence, and person, and remind us and teach us and mold us into the disciples that you're calling us to be. Your word teaches us to abide in you, yet it's so hard to trust you fully and to see you in our broken and fallen world. Forgive us for not abiding in you. Fill us once again with the light and the power of the Holy Spirit. Teach us, guide us, comfort us, convict us of our sin, and walk alongside us as we desire to abide in you and bear fruit that will last. In Jesus' mighty and risen name, amen. Well, as I read the passage for today, I'd always say, put yourself in the story. Hear these words as though they were, as if you were sitting in the upper room. You've been with Jesus, he's washed your feet, he's shared the Last Supper, the sacrament of communion. You've heard your rabbi teach, and now he has a little bit more to say. Open your Bibles to John 15, 1 to 11. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we have members of our church that are giving away one-year Bibles. It's a great time to get a Bible. Email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll get you a Bible. We're in John 15, 1 through 11. Listen for God's word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. If the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Wow, that's a lot. There's a lot of words in there, abide and bear fruit. When we look at this passage, we can talk about the final great I am statement found in John's gospel. John begins his teaching with his seventh and final I am statement here in this reading. Well, just call to mind, in John 6:35, he says, I'm the bread of life. In John 8:12, he says, I'm the light of the world. In John 10:9, he says, I am the gate. In John 10:11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. In John 11:25, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. In John 14:7, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In each case, Jesus is not a light or a gate or a truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is unique. The same here in this verse 1, Jesus says, He is the vine, the only vine, the only true vine. We could talk about the call of the true disciples to fruit bearing. This passage also teaches us about obedient love and complete joy. In John 15:1, Jesus gives his seventh and final I am statement. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. All of the conversation stopped by this powerful pronouncement by Jesus. The force of Jesus' words here is jaw-dropping and should rightly stop us in our tracks. Israel is pictured as a vine that is meant to produce refreshing fruit. Jesus proclaims that he is the vine and we are the branches. As we ponder this passage today, here is a wonderfully deep and mystic parable. Jesus is telling that he is the vine or the trunk, we are the branches, and God the Father is the gardener. Well, grab a hold of that picture of what Jesus is actually saying. We are a vineyard of true believers who are organically related to Christ. Stop and think about this for a minute. The very life that runs in Jesus' veins now runs in our veins. The Holy Spirit is like the sap of the vine that feeds us and helps us grow. Another visual image is that the Holy Spirit is like the electricity that brings light and life to us. The life is the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that today our Heavenly Father is walking among the vines of the vineyard? This isn't so far a stretch for those of us who live in the Inland Empire. Even I can remember back in 1999 when I first arrived, there were acres of vineyards here, some abiding history. California is not a state yet, but it happens in 1850. But in 1838, the first land grant was given to a Mexican by the name of Don Tapia. He started vineyards. Think of the street that lives very close to the church, Vineyard. He was given 13,000 acres. He took cuttings from the mission in San Gabriel. The Cucamonga Indians built the adobe house and the winery building. In 1850, California is now a state. In 1883, an Italian immigrant named Segunda Guasti took over 5,000 acres, the largest vineyard in the world at that time. 3.5 million gallons of wine produced a year. Talk about abiding. In 1927, before World War II, there were 27,000 total acres of vineyards here in this city that I live in. Did I say that right? Yes, I did. 27,000 total acres of vineyards right here in the area where I live, the largest grape-growing region in America. But by 1995, well, there was only 2,000 acres left, and by 2025, there are only 320 acres remaining. Abide in the vine. The idea is that if we abide, we will be, well, lovingly cared for, and we will bring forth fruit. As Jesus is speaking to us in the upper room, he knows that death is going to be conquered and that his life would reign forever. Jesus was not afraid of the future, even though he knew the horrible anguish of his coming crucifixion. He was not focused on it. Why not? Jesus knew the secret. Do you know the secret? Are we facing uncertain times? Are the winds of change blowing in our lives? Has the crumbling economy brought fear and trouble? Has our crumbling health brought fear and trouble? Has crumbling relationships brought fear and trouble? Is the world crying out with fear and trouble? Listen, do you know the secret? The secret is found in these last words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, John 15:1. And then in John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Before Jesus ever begins teaching on the vine, he points us to God. My Father is the gardener, is what Jesus says. Just as Moses experienced God in the burning bush, as God proclaimed the great I am statement, I am, I am, I am who I am, Jesus turns the disciples' eyes heavenward. As God promised Moses that he would be with them, Jesus is promising the disciples that the divine gardener will be with them and watch over them. At the very heart of Reformed theology is the knowledge that God is sovereign. God is supreme over all. For those of us listening today, God is the gardener of our lives. God is the gardener of our economic stress, the gardener of our health, the gardener of our relationships, the gardener of our jobs, the gardener of our very lives. Herein lies the beginning point of the final I am statement. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Can you repeat that with me? Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Apollo 11 landed on the surface of the moon on Sunday, July 20th, 1969. Most of us are familiar with the astronaut Neil Armstrong's historic statement as he stepped onto the moon's surface. He said, that's one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. But few know about the first meal eaten on the moon. Buzz Aldrin had brought aboard the spacecraft a tiny communion kit provided by his church. Aldrin sent a radio broadcast to Earth asking listeners to contemplate the events of that day and give thanks. Then, in radio blackout for privacy, Aldrin read, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in them bears much fruit. And silently he gave thanks, and they took the communion. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon and write your prayer. If you want a faster answer, or if you just want to ask a question, you can always email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We've been talking about abiding in the vine. As I have read this passage over and over again, as I prepare for the message, I've reflected on these powerful words and verses in this opening section. Two such words jumped off the page as they were being repeated over and over again. The word fruit was used 6 times in the first 11 verses. Fruit is used 6 times in 11 verses. The word abide is used 11 times in the opening 11 verses. Friends, that is one time for each verse almost, and in this case, 2 times in several verses. If we're in this story, these two words are flashing yellow. Caution, pay attention, fruit, abide, fruit, abide. Well, we're going to talk about abiding in the vine. This is a picture of a grapevine. Go look at any picture of a grapevine and see the fruit that abides. The Greek word for abide is meno, M-E-N-O. It means to remain or to stand firm, to persevere, to stay home, to rest, to wait for expecting something in the future, to abide. Wow, that's the definition of the Greek word. We translate it abide. Your translation might say abide. It might say remain. It might say stand firm. It might say persevere. It might say wait expecting something in the future. The illustration that Christ is giving to the disciples that they are going to need to remain, stand firm, persevere, rest, and be at home in the vine waiting patiently for something to happen in the future. Jesus has just told us that we are the branches and he is the true, the only one and only vine. The branch has one purpose, one object for why it exists, to remain connected to the vine, and thus to be able to bear fruit. Jesus tells us that apart from him, we can do nothing. Well, friends, in baptism, one of the outward signs of the inward reality of God's grace, in baptism, we are it's said to be engrafted into the family of God. That's a big theological word, engrafted. Have you ever thought about that? If you haven't been baptized, I'd encourage you to go talk to your pastor about baptism and what it means. One of the outward signs is you're engrafted, or you're brought into the family of God. Being engrafted, the gardener takes the newly cut off branch, which is you and me, away from its old source of life and engrafts it into a new source of life. The branch is now tapped into the very stem of the most excellent vine, so that the branch can directly receive the largest amount of nutrients from the engrafted vine. Here's what we have. We have God the Father is the divine gardener. Jesus Christ is the vine of God's planting. We now are the very branches of God's grafting. Are you with me on this magnificent story? What's our only job right now? Abide. To remain, to stand firm, to persevere, to stay home, to rest, to wait for expecting something in the future. Or in essence, we are to abide. Twice Jesus says that we will bear fruit, and this fruit that we will bring to God His glory. In Galatians 5:22, we're told about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus is reminding the disciples on this night of all nights, they are going to face trials and tribulations, but they are to remain in the vine and bear fruit. There's a progression in this story. Christ begins by saying fruit, and then more fruit, and finally much fruit. As we stay connected to the vine, our fruit-bearing ability should increase. This fruit-bearing isn't just found in our living, but should actually be bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which we just listed: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Maybe a good so what question. How you doing bearing fruit? How are you bearing fruit? Are we producing the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Well, a certain lady loved flowers and plants. She planted a rare vine against the stone near the back of her yard. She nurtured it and it grew well. It was vigorous. It was beautiful. But it had no blossoms. She was so disappointed. One day, she stood there looking at that vine with the beautiful foliage, but no blossoms. Her neighbor called across the wall asking her to come over. The lady went over to the other yard, and the neighbor said, "Thank you for planting the vine. Look at these beautiful blossoms." You see, the vine had crept through the stone wall, and the blossoms were on the other side. The owner just hadn't seen them yet. That's the way fruit-bearing is. It leaps beyond our human limitations. As we abide in the true vine, we will produce fruit, and not just fruit for us, but fruit for all that will last. What fascinated me in the story of John this week was verse 11. We'll kind of finish with this verse here. Jesus says in verse 11, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Well, maybe a good so what question. I don't know where you're at. I don't know who's listening. I pray for you every day. I pray for the listeners of the program. Are you filled with joy today? We should be. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. I have a very good friend who is filled with joy. Everywhere she goes, her joy spills over. One day, she was confronted by several ladies from her church. They told her, quote, "There's got to be something wrong with you. No one can be that happy," quote unquote. You see, my friend knows the secret. She is connected to the vine. The joy of Jesus lives in her, and her joy is complete. I also have another friend who is famous for his life's little models. He, whenever I call him on the phone and we talk and pray, he would say, "I'm drinking from the saucer. My cup overflows." It is a famous song. Did you know that? My friend is a worship leader. Listen to the words of the song. "I've never made a fortune, and it's probably not too late, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from the saucer, because my cup overflowed. I thank God for his blessings and the mercies he's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed." Seriously, do you know someone like these two friends of mine? I'm blessed to have them in my life. How I wish my cup overflowed constantly like theirs does. Has the world tried to take your joy away? Friends, get a glimpse of this. Hear what Jesus is saying. If we abide in Jesus, we will have joy, complete joy. The writer of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he says, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I remember my friend coming to me crying. Her friends had been really cruel to her, insinuating that there was something wrong with her for having so much joy. What really happened to my friend is that she took her eyes off the gardener. Her friends had tried to steal her joy. Abide in the vine and let your joy be complete in Christ. And the life lesson here, if you keep your eyes on the gardener, well, there's nobody, nowhere going to steal your joy. Joy in Jesus is an artesian well. His joy is pumped into your being, and that joy cannot be contained. It simply pours out over, and it pours out on everyone. Okay, back to the upper room and to the discourse given by Jesus. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Previously in John 10, Jesus has told them three times that he's going to lay down his life for the sheep. They always say that one should pay great attention to the last words of a dying man. Jesus knows how close his death is and is now sharing with the disciples that he is the true vine, and they will need to abide in him. Jesus knows that life is going to take in a very deep, cutting turn, and that the only way they will come through it is to abide in him. One of my mentors, I've read his book, seen him in person. His name is Brennan Manning. He has an amazing story about how he got the name Brennan. While growing up, his best friend was Ray. The two of them did everything together, bought a car together as teenagers, double dated together, went to school together, and so forth. They even enlisted in the army together, went to boot camp together, and fought in the front lines together. One night, while sitting in a foxhole, Brennan was reminiscing about the old days in Brooklyn while Ray listened and ate a chocolate bar. Suddenly, a live grenade came into the foxhole. Ray looked at Brennan, smiled, dropped his chocolate bar, and threw himself on the live grenade. It exploded, killing Ray, but Brennan's life was spared. Years later, when Brennan became a priest, he was instructed to take on the name of a saint. He thought of his friend Ray Brennan, so he took on the name Brennan. Years later, he went to visit Ray's mother in Brooklyn. They sat up late one night having tea when Brennan asked her, "Do you think Ray loved me?" Mrs. Brennan got up off the couch, shook her finger in front of Brennan's face, and shouted, "What more could he be done for you? He jumped on a grenade for you." Brennan said that at that moment, he experienced an epiphany. He imagined himself standing before the cross of Jesus, wondering, "Does God really love me?" And Jesus' mother, Mary, was pointing at her son, saying, "What more could he have done?" The cross of Jesus is God's way of telling us that he loves us. It's God's way of saying that you're important to him. He wants you to bear fruit. Abide, and bearing fruit means joy. Abiding means love. So we're wrapping it up. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks that today you fill us with your love and that we can abide in you. Help us to abide and bear fruit and let your joy be complete in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, God loves you. And so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. See you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.